It's the Burt Cohen Show. Is the American dream? Is it a dream filled with guns everywhere where people just assume that gunfire could break out at any moment and that that's just something we should live with and expect to live with unlike any other country? Is that part of what America is? Well, I guess some people think so. The same people who are wicked concerned, as we might say in New England, about sex. They're freaked out about sex. But they're all in favor of guns. The solution is more guns for more people. What the heck is going on with the same people that are for more guns and are worried to death about sex? They're really threatened by sexuality, but they want more guns, and they claim to be for families. What the heck is going on? Of course, this is all in light of the awful massacre at that movie in Aurora, Colorado, quite recently. Our guest today to talk about this is Laura Riscoll. Laura, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
She is a journalist who questions the stories we tell ourselves about sex. She's published in The Nation, which, of course, I hope you all read, Salon, Alternate, RH Reality Check, Religion Dispasses, plus chapters in several books. Laura Riscoll explores where public debates and private lives collide with a focus on politics, pop culture, media, religion, and feminism. And she's writing a book called 10 Sex Myths That Screw America, A Pleasure Polemic. Well, you're on the right show here. Politics.
Great to be here.
Politics and religion and hopefully some degree of pleasure. It's astounding to me. After the massacre, there was a father of some kids that was on network TV saying, hey, this is just part of life. We got to live with this. Just live every day and not do anything about it. Just accept the prevalence of guns. Well, it does seem, Laura, that the Christian right has absolutely taken over the Republican Party, and its theocratic assault, as you say, entails regulating sexual freedom, but not violence in entertainment or violence in real life. Well, you live in Colorado. Boy, that's been a busy place with all the fires and everything.
Yeah, it's been a tough year.
Yeah, you're not all that far from where the massacre happened. Tell us about your reaction. You have a young son. What was your reaction to that?
Yeah, I mean, just you even asking that question brings up tears and brings up emotions. So it's still not hard. It's still not easy to even talk about. So when I learned about it first thing in the morning, it hit hard emotionally. I mean, we were living in Colorado when Columbine happened, and there was another shooting shortly after Columbine that I don't know if you remember, that was further in the mountains and where this man had amassed tons of guns and ended up breaking into a school and killing a girl there. So it wasn't a mass killing, so it probably didn't get as much attention. But again, it had to do with guns. So the emotions are raw. I think if it happened anywhere here in the state, when the Tucson shooting happened, it was a real emotional time for me also. But my son is now 10, and we actually conceived him shortly after 9/11, you know. So, and since then, there's been horrific mass shootings and violence, And I don't talk to him about that stuff. I mean, that stuff is the hard stuff for me to talk about, because it wasn't too long ago that he was always wearing superhero costumes. You know, he had a chest full of superhero costumes, and always questioned whether it was the movies, television, news, you know, stuff that we had talked about. His fixation was always the good guys versus the bad guys. Who's the good guy? He's the good guy, right? Well, they're the good guys, right? Because in a child's black and white mind, the good guy always wins. And when it comes to violence, there are no winners. But I write about sex and sex controversies. And so what I get all the time are people who say how hard it is to talk about sex, and how can, you know, we let two men marry each other? What would I tell my kids? You know, how can we have condoms advertised on television? What would I tell my kids? You know, people never want to talk to their children about sex, which is something that has come naturally for me because I know all the issues surrounding sexuality. So I've talked to my son about sex and sexuality since he was able to talk, I mean, which comes with naming body parts at the very beginning. But this was our first talk that we had on violence because he's, you know, he's old enough now where I was dropping him off at robotics camp, and I was certain, since this happened in Colorado, it was likely that other kids would know about it and would bring it up, and I wasn't wanting him to go into that camp and not have some kind of understanding of what went on.
Well, it does seem to me, anyway, it strikes me as a healthy thing to be able to talk about, you know, this part of being a human, you know, an actual good thing about being a human that a lot of people are extremely uncomfortable with, and yet a lot of these same people that are uncomfortable with it have no problems with the proliferation of tremendous use of guns, and people who are against talking about sex and letting young people know about sex, all in favor of, you know, they don't want to ban assault rifles. You can't talk about gun control. Nobody dares talk about gun control. It does seem, well, of course, Mitt Romney hasn't said a word about it because, you know, that's largely his base. But Obama, I guess, is finally starting to talk about some assault weapons out there. There was a law against assault weapons that, thanks to the NRA, was allowed to expire in 2004. But virtually, they don't want to talk about gun control, especially the people from the right, the Republican Party. They love to talk about the dangers of sexuality. A discussion of this bizarre contrast really needs to happen.
No, it shows how upside down our nation's priorities are, just how sick and disturbed our culture is, where violence, and including mass shootings, where you go to a movie theater, you gather with friends for fun and joy and pleasure and play, and someone can come in having legally bought an assault rifle, Glocks, 6,000 rounds of ammunition, 100-round drum magazine, full body armor. Someone can come in and litter the theater with dead and wounded, and that's just a natural, normal part of life. That's just part of being free. That's the freedom that the Second Amendment guarantees. So that's normal. You can't do anything about violence. Sex, however, that's what we need to legislate. That's what we need to regulate. You know, we need to stop people from having sex outside of marriage. And what I go through in the article, I'm not just pulling this out of the air. I'm not doing hyperboles here. I've been following the religious right for more than a decade now. I've been writing about this stuff for more than a decade, and this is what their focus is for fundraising reasons, for scapegoating, for otherizing, for demonizing those who don't think like them. They use sexual politics, and so their response right after this horrific mass killing was not, what the human natural response should have been, which was my response in having to discuss violence, right? I mean, that is what just took place. There are issues here in our country with some crazy being, this is not the first mass killing, you know, so for someone to be able to do this, this is an issue that needs to be discussed. It's horrific. Their response, Family Research Council, who is one of the most powerful lobbyists, they Beltway insiders, I attend the Values Voters Summit. I've attended it more than once in Washington, D.C., where this past one, they had every single Republican presidential candidate for nominee. They had them there speaking. They have different legislatures, senators and congresspersons that are there speaking, the conservative media, Hannity, Sean Hannity, so all the bigwigs are there. So Family Research Council, which has so much power, who met with Mitt Romney just 2 days, two or 3 days before this killing, had met with Romney to talk about an anti-abortion vice presidential candidate selection. So their response and their email, their daily email, barely mentioned the shooting. It was just a little cursory mention at the bottom of their email saying our hearts go out to the families of this horrific event, and that was it. The top two outrages of the day had to do with sex. You know, that was their, that was what they wanted to talk about, was you know, the military uniforms for the being able to be worn at the upcoming Gay Pride parade in San Diego, about same-sex weddings taking place on military bases for the first time. This is what they were outraged about, with barely mention of the shooting. Focus on the family, again, another multi-million dollar powerful global media empire with tons of a political influence and cultural influence, you know, the framing the debate. They're based in Colorado Springs, not far from the Aurora shooting. There was no mention in their email that day, CitizenLink email, no mention, not anything, not even I'm sorry to the families. They talked about applauding the Republican Congress persons who were supporting abstinence only unless married education in our public schools. So they linked to this huge long report defending abstinence education and blasting comprehensive sex education. So this is what they want to talk about.
We are talking about sex and violence. Well, pay attention there, right? Because people, you know, they perk up when it talks about sex, but violence, oh, it's just boring. More of the same old, same old. Our guest today on the Bert Cohen Show is Laura Riscoll, who writes about sex and sexuality, and we're talking about why is it that this right wing, these so allegedly family-oriented groups, it's a taboo. You can't talk about the gun culture. How is it that they call themselves, for example, the Family Research Council? Is it about families? You actually call them a hate group, which is pretty strong language. But what is their, you know, affiliation with protecting the family and family values?
Yeah, they're actually a designated hate group. So this is it the Southern Poverty Law Center?
Right.
So it's not my just interpretation
alone, right?
of them, even though I have been following them, but it's just not my opinion. They have been designated this past year as a hate group for mostly the anti-gay propaganda that they put out there on a regular basis. So they're one of several quote unquote family values groups,
right,
that have tremendous influence and basically are used in the media, or they use the media, the regulars on MSNBC speaking for the entire Christian faith, which is not, you know, I work with sex educators and people who are devout Christians, and but when in the media, when we hear Christian, we hear anti-gay, anti-woman's right to choose, anti-sex education. That's what they focus on. So anyhow, Family Research Council, like Concerned Women for America and other family values groups out there, are about bringing America back to a biblically based a nation. So they believe that God's law is over the nation's law, the Constitution, that it's God's law, and they want to bring our bring us back to theocracy. You know, that it's a biblically based. That's in all their literature is what they're achieving. But the what they focus on in the Bible is not social justice Christianity, but it's all again based on personal what they consider personal morals. Again, that has to, it all revolves around sex. There's an obsession with controlling sexuality, and there is no there is no good sex aside from sex within a committed lifelong marriage. That's the only sex that is acceptable under God's law. So it's insane. So even when 9/11 happened, and I wrote a column right after 9/11, and that was another really tough column for me to write. Right after it happened, Family Research Council, their email was about how the strong men out there defending our country and nation, fighting for freedom, not people looking at porn or watching porn. And I mean, they still brought in contrasting the good people fighting for freedom versus the people who wanted porn and sex education in the school. So they still, after 9/11, were able, the immediate follow-up with that, they still have to talk about sex.
Well, I suppose it's interesting that over the period when the Bible was written, I don't think they had assault weapons.
Yeah.
Well, and there's probably not a lot said in the Bible, either the first half or the second half, whatever. I don't know that there's talk about the dangers of violence. In fact, there is a heck of a lot of violence. I mean, people get stoned, not in the good way, in the bad way, and punished in the Bible that, you know, violence is legitimized. So I wonder, is that they fall back on that since, well, it was good enough for the Bible, you know, give me that old-time religion.
There's a lot of God's wrath in the Bible. There is, you know, it's all politics. Okay, so I'm from a Christian background. I used to go to church 6 times a week, twice on Sunday, learning the Bible from the original Greek, Hebrew, and Latin.
Wow.
You know, so
that's serious, right?
I come from a fundamentalist evangelical background. But what it comes to are these, the Christian right. So again, it's not all Christians, and
right,
I can't come from the Christian right. Very anti feminist, anti hippies. You know, they called them hippies back then. They just call them liberals and socialists now. but it was it's what they have done is they have aligned themselves. These groups have aligned themselves with a status quo, and are against any kind of cultural change that messes up that status quo.
Uh-huh.
So of course, women's sexual liberation changes the status quo. Gays really turn upside the gender status quo. Sex education, you know, Texas just did. You know, the Texas Republican platform, the most recent Republican platform.
Tell us about it, please.
Was had in there that they were against teaching critical thinking in the schools, because that would challenge students' fixed beliefs and challenge parental authority. So education, period, is, you know, at the Values Voters Conference, demolishing the education department was all part of what they want to do. They hate public education. Sex education is of course even more subversive. So they are against sexual freedom, which I've written about this before in Culture Warriors versus Sex for Pleasure, a chapter in an anthology that I wrote, talked about Santorum when he was leading, one of the leading contenders for the Republican nominee. He did several interviews blasting not just gays and sex ed and abortion, but sexual freedom. He actually used that language, that he's against how sexual freedom is a threat to our nation and Western civilization. So sexual freedom is bad, but economic freedom and freedom to shoot up, you know, to buy all the weaponry you want and shoot up public squares, you know, that's the freedom that they focus on. So it's really, it's the freedom that, so it's against personal freedom, sexual freedom. It's for unfettered capitalism for corporations,
right,
the freedom for corporations to do what they want, and then freedom for the gun industry. So that is the freedom that the Christian right has allied itself with. And they know by blasting sexual freedom, they're able to do scary enough stuff. They're able to make it a case of, you know, sex education versus abstinence, or condoms versus purity, you know, evil versus good. You know, they're able to do the black and white. The other issues, economic issues, even issues around violence and the Second Amendment, that's complex, right? That there's more complexity there. Even though you'd think that getting semi-automatic weapons off the street, that should be a no-brainer. 6,000 rounds at one time, that should be a no-brainer. But there are still complexities to it. With sex, they're able to do black and white and demonize, scapegoat and demonize people on the left who want cultural change and social justice, who are fighting for equality. You know, we're able to be dismissed as a bunch of anything goes hedonists.
Wow. Fascinating that they, you know, that sexual freedom is a threat to American society, a threat to the good, but having, you know, everybody armed with a huge arsenal, that's not a threat. That is, it's mind-boggling. It really is, but you're right. It can be painted black and white.
And you read in my column, this current column, Town Hall, which is, I don't know if your listeners know, Town Hall is the premier conservative clearinghouse for writers. So all Bill O'Reilly, Ann Coulter, you know, all the usual suspects are published. Everyone has weekly columns on there that blast feminists and liberals and Obama as the devil, you know. So, I mean, they're extreme in their conservative right-wing rhetoric. So one of the columnists, the headline was something like, Dark Knight is why I carry a gun on me wherever I go. So that was the headline. And it went on to say that he carries at least one gun on him wherever he goes. It doesn't matter if he goes to the park, wherever, that he knows that he'll be ready when there's another wannabe killer on the loose. And that every good citizen should carry a gun with them at all times, and a fire-breathing, I don't remember the actual language, but a fire-breathing monster of a weapon, you know, and that they should have it on their bodies like cell phones, and an appendage, an actual appendage to their body. So this is the freedom that they're talking about. This is America. It really comes down to, and the right, the culture warriors on the right that I spend so much time following, they say all the time that it's a fight for the soul of America. It's a fight for the soul of America when they're fighting against the left, right? So this is an example. That's why I wrote about this. This is an example of who are we as Americans? What is America? You know, is this the freedom that we're talking about? Where in order to be safe and not, you wouldn't even be safe. But you know, to live your life, to go out to the movies, for God's sake, to go out to the movies, you have to be strapped with arsenal as an appendage to your body. That's the freedom that they're talking about. That's their vision of America.
Wow, it is. It's pretty appalling, and it's for sure true that the gun lobby and increasingly their appendage, the Republican Party, it favors everybody carrying guns. And I will. You talk about black and white, and that this is kind of complex. At the shooting in Arizona, when Gabrielle Giffords was shot along with the 9-year-old girl who was killed, there was a guy there who was packing heat. He was carrying just for that same purpose. But he figured, you know, if I pull my gun out, they're going to think of me as a second shooter and I'm going to get murdered. There's that complexity there that they don't think of. We are talking with Laura Riskall about sex and violence in America, what we are. And, you know, you talk about a struggle for the soul of America. What is our identity? And there is a culture war. Pat Buchanan was absolutely correct and pretty right as well when he said that there was a culture war at the 1992 Republican convention. And, you know, these guys are really comfortable with things like Eddie Eagle. I don't know if you're probably familiar with that with all the research you've done. Eddie Eagle is the NRA's program to make kids comfortable with the prevalence of guns. It's like guns are more part of who we are, of our identities as human beings, than sexuality. It's a little bit bizarre.
Yeah, that's a lot scarier to people. And so there are two things here. I mean, one is trumping up the fear of sexuality is politically convenient, right? That helps fundraise and that helps again demonize and otherize the opponent. You know, so sex is a useful political tool, but individuals really are uncomfortable about sex. So parents would rather let their children watch Dark Knight, you know, or their children watch violence on TV versus sex on TV. And when I say sex on TV, I mean even just, you know, if sex is okay on TV as long as somebody's getting brutalized or murdered. The woman, you know, then sex is okay. But any intimacy is really makes people uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're right. And I have two girls who are now aged 11 and 15. A couple years ago, I took a chance to rent a movie. Back when you could rent them. I was there. It was a PG-13. I think Steve Martin may have been in. I thought, oh, what the heck? You know, it's PG-13. How bad can it be? Now, I was amazed at how violent it was. I felt terribly embarrassed, and I felt like, oh, my goodness, what kind of parent am I for letting my kids watch this movie that the Motion Picture Association of America said PG-13, and yet there's that dreaded label NC-17. If a movie gets made and the Motion Picture Association of America labels it NC-17, that's a kiss of death. That movie's going nowhere. Nobody's going to see it. It's the sex that gets that profit-killing label of NC-17, gun violence.
It's not any sex, again. If it's a coming of age of boys trying to lose their virginity, if it's sexual violence, you know, then,
oh, yeah, then it's cool.
No problem. Right. But if there's any hint of female pleasure, that is the most threatening, and that will get you the NC-17. So the example I use in my article is Blue Valentine, which is a pretty tame love scene. It's an actual sexual, joyful, sweet love scene between Ryan Gosling's and Michelle Williams' characters who are married in this movie, and he performs cunnilingus on her. It's, you don't see, you know, you right. see his head down. You know, I mean, there's nothing graphic, but it's very intimate, you know, and it brings you into this intimacy. And they got nailed with NC-17, and this was the same time as Black Swan.
Yes.
Am I saying there was sexual violence in that movie?
I didn't see
and
it.
And that one got the R. But you actually have like horror movies that will get the PG-13.
Right.
So you were talking about the PG-13.
Yeah.
That are highly sexualized and brutal. But that's okay if it's not intimate. And again, if there's no female pleasure, is the scariest of all. This film is not rated. An excellent documentary that breaks that down.
What's it called?
This Film Is Not Rated.
Oh, that's
it's
the name of the film.
Excellent, mind-blowing, mind-opening documentary that gives shows several examples of this. So, and the documentary maker followed, because it's very secretive as far as who is the one judging, you know, who's the one making these decisions.
And, right.
You know,
who
and,
is?
And so he ends up following and tries to out these people. And they all have big money. They're all, you know, I mean, it all comes down to siding with money. And again, I think that female pleasure or actual intimacy is subversive. Keeping things violent is just part of the status quo, and keeping us disconnected. It keeps us disconnected.
Ah.
I mean, the whole talk about family values. You know, there's nothing but alienation and dysfunction with how we are interacting as couples and how we're raising our children. By us not being able to talk about sex.
Yeah, and it reminds me of, there have been lots and lots of cases of young gay men committing suicide, successfully committing suicide. Why? Largely because the message they get is one of hate, of non-acceptance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they are part of the family. I have gay family members, everybody. You know, it's just a... It's always been there. It always will be there. Guns are only, you know, a few hundred years old. But, the fact that guns are so accepted and you can't even talk about controlling that. But clamping down on female sexuality in particular, it really it amazes me. And years ago, I was part of a group that talked about family values, and we got together people from the right and left, and we decided that there's really, we recognized, shall we say, that there was a real delineation between public values and private values. And it seems to me what this right wing, the so-called Christian right, is talking about is private values. They want to interfere with private, personal values that don't affect anybody else. But public values, you know, the values of keeping us safe from having machine guns out there, they don't want to talk about that. It's a little bit, as you say, upside down. It must have been fascinating being at that values voter conference. I don't know how you captured sanity.
You know, it's hilarious. The first one I went to the first one they had, and it was, you know, the Body Snatchers movie?
I've heard of it. Haven't
seen
it.
Body Snatchers horror flick. It's where, you know, these pods come down and they take over the bodies. So your husband's no longer your husband, or your boss is no longer your boss, or your daughter's no longer your daughter. So they take over the bodies. And in the end, there's only a few humans left, and they're walking through the crowds trying to pretend like they're the body snatchers, you know, without being found out. It's actually a quite frightening, excellent horror flick. Anyways, that's how I felt at the first Value Setters Conference Summit that I went to. So it was, and you end up getting asked what church you go to, and right. It was, you know, it was like 2,000 evangelicals, and it's all in one room, and again, the power speakers that they had. I mean, that's when it really underscored just how powerful they are in our politics and in our political agenda, our political debates, and then our cultural, the narrative. There was, they're the ones who get on all the big news shows.
Yeah.
They know how to manipulate the media. Mm. The second time I went there was just this last year. There were so many, there was hundreds of media outlets there from around the world. So I wasn't feeling so undercover and so alien amongst
right.
them. But it's a lot of hate. You know, the first one that I went to, there was actually, and that was before there was so much media, so they weren't as smooth, but there were actually people on stage talking about faggots, using the word
Ooh.
Faggots and fairies, and people, you know, and the whole crowd will laugh as, you know, I mean, it's
right.
ugly. And you know, and again, at that time, it was gays and feminist liberals, the liberal media, which is a joke, the liberal media, you know, they were a bigger threat, gays, feminists, liberals, a bigger threat to our country than Al-Qaeda. You know, this was shortly, you know,
sure,
after
9/11. Of course. Unbelievable. Well, I wonder, what do you think would have happened if a person got up there and spoke maybe shortly after some, you know, massacre and said, you know, I favor the Second Amendment. People have a right to defend themselves, which is one interpretation of the Second Amendment. But, you know, like driving a car, which is a very, very dangerous thing, we need, you know, some rules. You're not allowed to drive, you know, over 80 miles an hour. You know, you have to play by the rules. If somebody had said, you know, we really don't need machine guns out in the streets, what would have happened? What would the crowd have done there?
You know, I mean, the crowd would be grateful, would be thankful. The majority of people want to stop the insanity.
Oh, sure.
The majority of Americans, including NRA members,
yes.
want some sort of regulation. You know, whether it's closing the loopholes at gun shows, more background checks. Getting the assault weapons off of the semi-automatic and automatic weapons off, being able to regulate the stuff that basically reinstating some of the bans that expired
right.
under Bush, you
right.
know, being
right.
able to regulate how big of a magazine round that you can get, that the 100 round magazine that this killer had in Aurora
yeah.
Could shoot 50 to 60 bullets. A minute,
and you don't
60 bullets a minute. So you know that's the kind of stuff that most Americans
right.
want to see stopped and changed and regulated. Right?
But had somebody proposed that at the Values Voter Conference? Would
oh,
you...
sorry, I was missing
right.
that. No, no.
I mean, I agree.
That would not happen. Well, first of all, these Values Voters Conference is very, very rabid. Rabid and black and white,
yeah.
and again, the good and evil, and it's clear who the good guys are and who the bad guys are there. And when it comes to guns, that you know, it's a narrative that they have. So in this case, Obama, the NRA has put it out there. The wing nuts put it out there that he's the most anti-gun president ever. And wants to take away your guns, right? That's the narrative.
Right.
It has no foundation in truth
Zero.
Whatsoever.
Absolutely.
But that's the narrative they put out there, just like they put out, you know, that Obama, when Obama was running for president, they had broke out when he was Indiana's senator, how he supported sex education. And there was a commercial basically saying that it was an attack ad basically saying that he wanted to sexualize your kindergartners, you know, your children. So they have a narrative out there to dehumanize and to make us evil, right? So if anyone said now, right, like now, even after this atrocity, what you just said, that we need to regulate, it would be twisted into Obama taking away your freedom, which is already what their narrative is. So you probably know this, since this atrocity, gun sales have spiked.
Yes.
Have just like after Tucson, they've went through the roof.
Yes.
So gun stores cannot keep up now with the demand, because the narrative is that the liberals are going to take away, use this atrocity, use this mass shooting to take away your freedom, to take away your guns.
And it's, of course, amazing and absurd, but I wonder what it is about guns and freedom. This is something that that the far right, which has taken over the Republican Party, and we thought Goldwater was right wing. What is it with guns and freedom? Is it, I'm trying to figure it out myself, is it merely symbolic? You say that in some states it's easier to buy a gun than a sex toy.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it, you know, that they figure that, well, if there starts to be regulations on guns, then, you know, that's a symbol of my freedom, and my freedom of speech, freedom of religion, all these other things will be taken away? Or is it really just the actual guns themselves, or is it the symbol? What's your take on that? I can't figure it out.
Yeah, I think it's a a symbol as far as it fits with the mythology that we have of ourselves as a free people, which is a Wild West kind of independent,
rugged,
you know,
individualist.
Just me and government's bad. And so with the right wing Christian people, there's the myths of government and international bodies, like the United Nations,
right,
taking away your freedom as an individual. So the gun is that Wild West myth that if I just have a gun, then I can protect myself when Big Brother or the UN, you know, tries to control my life, tries to take away my freedom, which is so far into a myth, right? I mean, it's not like that anyone is going to be wanting to come into your home. So let me give another example. Years ago, I used to organize campaigns and events for social causes. And one that I did was Children's Candlelight Vigil. And it was for the convention. It was a human rights treaty. It was based on the human rights treaty for the rights of children. And I was pretty naive back then as far as knowing that anyone would oppose a human rights treaty for children. And, you know, the event that I did was at the state capitol, and it was a 5-stage event with music and dance, and, you know, and mine was the largest in the United States and the third largest in the world. So it was this really big, successful event. But it was then that I realized just how much power the religious right has, because our nation was against signing this treaty,
right,
because it would take away the rights of the parents. So the Christian right and conservatives had this really strong me against evil, my nuclear family, you know, my domain, my castle.
Right.
And yeah, you need guns to protect that castle. It's the clinging to guns, I think, is steeped in mythology of us against the bad guys.
And you're making me remember something about when somebody, I can't remember which candidate, talked about they cling to their guns and religion. Boy, the reaction.
Oh my gosh,
that.
Poor Howard Dean.
That got
played when he was running for president.
I wonder if the culture is changing. My sense is it really, really is changing. I mean, just look at the incredible popularity. I haven't read it, of 50 Shades of Grey, which I understand is about, you know, enjoying sexuality. But it's like they just refuse to give up. They're under threat. you know, as you say, the UN. I mean, I've noticed lately that that they're really concerned about a proposed UN treaty, and you know, they just fighting back. And yet, the Republican Party, one of two major parties, heck, they could win the presidency. It's entirely possible. Seems to be focused on this, you know, really kind of, frankly, I think, fading culture of white male Christian Protestant dominance over everybody else. And they're just and homosexuality and female sexuality is just such a threat to their power base. My sense is, and this has been a sense for a long time, that they're on the Christian right, the radical, you know, cultural right. There's a lot of closeted homosexuals who just freaked out by the fact.
Yeah, well, we've learned that. There's been enough examples of that. Yeah, self-loathing.
Yes.
Yeah, quite damaging. And if they're not homosexual, they're married and, you know, wearing diapers with prostitutes.
Yes,
like Bitter of Louisiana.
And they can get away with that. And
yeah, he's still in there. He's still serving in there. As long as he continues to preach the party line, trying to take away everyone else's freedom, everyone else's rights, you know, as long as he's still spouting, you know.
And, you know, there can be male sexuality, you know, dominance and control. I think that's a big, big issue. And, you know, the whole sexual violence things, it's not about sex. It's about dominance and control, really. And it's just, you know, the right to own as many guns and as many rounds of ammunition as you want is just something that's absolutely sacrosanct. And I wonder if there's any, you know, why here we have the Republican Party kowtowing to them, and yet the culture is changing. Do you not see the National Republican Party of 2012 being a little bit nervous that, you know, these frankly, wacko gun, you know, loving people might threaten their electoral chances. You know, and here we have a society which there's clearly much, much greater acceptance of marriage equality. Is the National Republican Party really okay with these, you know, real extremists taking over?
You know, I'm hoping that all of this will end up backfiring. Their extremism, the Republican, the Republican-based extremism, I'm hoping will ultimately backfire because it is so far from individual realities. It's so removed from individual realities. But it's all about maintaining the myth. So, but the the difficulty and having watched like the rise of the Tea Party, you know, I watched the rise of the Tea Party and how they took over midterm elections 2010 how they just gutted the power of the Democrats in Congress and then gutted the power of President Obama to get anything done, right? I mean, we've been in this just bizarre stagnation of just bizarre, you know, the Congress has been doing nothing but attacking abortion rights, and you know, I just posted something today on Facebook of the number of laws that they have tried to pass on abortion and religion and education, and I don't know, it was just nothing to do with economy and jobs, but Tea Party came to power based on small government and fiscal responsibility. And there was a lot of talk at that time, a lot of pundits, you know, media people were saying that the religious right has lost its power, that the Tea Party now is the power.
Right.
I knew and I saw at that time that the Tea Party was the religious right.
Hmm.
You know, they were the same people. They had the same... They're talking about government get out of my life, you know, government get out of my pocketbook, but government get in everybody else's bedroom, you know. So I was at a sex education conference, and it was a national sex education conference in New Jersey, and the New Jersey Tea Party was there protesting it. They were, you know, so this has, and how they had found out about the conference was Phyllis Schlafly's Eagle Forum in Florida. Are you familiar with the Eagle Forum?
No,
very
little bit.
Phyllis Schlafly is the one who basically almost single-handedly defeated the ERA.
Right, back in
the 70s. And the big thing was because there would be unisex bathrooms.
Oh, right.
That was the big fear.
Fear.
Unisex bathrooms.
Fear.
So she's a big culture warrior, anti-feminist. You know, women should stay home. And, you know, even though she's this powerhouse out there. Mm. So the Eagle Forum is very much also one of those biblically based organizations, conservative about all
very
about
pro-gun.
Sex. And they're the ones who got the Tea Party to protest, and and I'm kind of losing the thread here, but you know, it's as far as the Republican base backfiring or not. It as long as they still control the media, which they do. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's getting better. The internet, people like you, you know, it's getting. It's getting better, but still they dominate mainstream media. And as long as they can keep it, the debate on their terms, like now, you know, you can't talk. The discussion since the Aurora shooting has either been more guns or don't politicize this. You can't talk about guns.
Oh, right. Don't politicize it, sure. Well, they must see you, Laura Riskell, as a bit of a threat to family values.
Yeah, but they're bizarre family values. I mean, I come from a Christian background. I'm not there anymore at all.
No,
you know,
sure
but
they pushed you away.
I was raised very conservative, anti-feminist. I served in the military 6 years. You know, Sergeant Riskell, the tank mechanic. You know, I voted for Reagan. You know, I come from their world,
but you have a family. You have a family. You have kids.
Yeah, I have my one son. I married older and had Jared late.
You're not against.
You know, like this
values.
Morning, the way that I started my day was. Going into my son and I barefoot first thing in the morning, going out into our garden and picking blackberries for breakfast, you know. So that's the kind of, you know, radical anti-family life I have, you know. I mean, it's...
You're obviously a real threat.
Yeah.
But people like Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin, you know, the right loves them. They're cute, you know. They seem to be comfortable with their place as physically attractive in their eyes anyway, and they love guns. They love guns. But uncute women like Hillary Clinton, oh, they're the devils. I just think...
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're both cute. They fit the traditional mold
Absolutely.
Of what womanhood should be
Yep.
as far as their look, and they play off of their sexuality.
Sure do.
Sarah Palin especially plays hard off of her sexuality.
Yep.
But they say all the things that the right wants to hear, you know, which is against everybody else's rights, you know. And so, you know, Sarah Palin talks about real Americans, and she's all about family, right? Her
mm-hmm.
whole thing is family, family, family. Well, I mean, aside from what everyone knows about Bristol Palin and having been an unwed teen mother,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw the latest thing. There's some reality show around Tripp now. So there's a reality show around Tripp, and I saw a clip of it recently where Tripp was wanting to go to the pool. Bristol was there with her sister. So Tripp wants to go to the pool. They say no. And they said something about just a bunch of drunk people there. And he wants to go, and he's pushing, and then he starts yelling, "I hate you. I hate you. I hate you both," you know. And they're giggling and saying, "Oh, don't say that. Don't say that." And they're laughing, which my son would never, you know, this kid's 3 years old now. So anyhow, it kept on escalating until Tripp called the aunt a faggot.
Mm.
So talking about family values.
Yeah.
Where does he get that? Right. You know, where? I mean, can you get any uglier than that? And this is so they're.
And can you get any uglier than gun violence? Than having 12 bodies in a movie theater and some 50 people, many of whom will be injured for life? You know, can it get any uglier than that? But that's okay in their world. It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Lara Riscoll, if people are interested in, we've come to the end of the hour. If people are interested in reading more of what you put out there, what website or sites can you point people to?
Yeah, Alternet publishes a lot of my stuff. And if they don't publish my original stuff, they reprint it. So they're probably the best place to go. Or I have a website, lararisco.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. I think we're getting through this stuff. I don't know. It sure is slow. The power of this vocal crazy minority has hurt so many people, and sexuality still just seems to scare people more than guns. I don't get it, but we're getting there. Lara Riscoll, thank you so much for being with us today on the Bert Cohen
Show. Thank you, Bert.
All right, and of course, the big fear is about sex. Email me, Bert at BertCohen.com. Thanks very much for listening.